Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. This episode highlights the work of the West Valley School District in Yakima, the first in a series of three episodes that focus on equity and dual credit and career technical education, or CTE. The mission of the West Valley School District, a vital partner of a proud and caring community, is to ensure that all students achieve their highest level of knowledge, skills, and attitudes necessary to be responsible and productive citizens, effective communicators, creative problem solvers, and lifelong learners. Through mutual support and the combined efforts of families, schools, and community, West Valley aims to provide a safe, high-quality learning environment in which each student experiences success every day. West Valley School District is the 102nd member to be admitted to the nationwide Digital Promise League of Innovative Schools. The League of Innovative Schools is made up of member school districts throughout the United States who believe in continuing to pursue and develop innovative approaches to education. More info about all of this at wvsd208.org. Mike Brophy is beginning his ninth year as superintendent of West Valley School District, as well as his 43rd year as an educator. Superintendent Brophy, what is your strategic vision for helping your students achieve success after high school?
Thank you very much. I'm a person that really believes in trying to keep things simple. I think sometimes people get in trouble when they try to overthink and overanalyze things. And so through my career, I've had the opportunity to be around some really fantastic leaders. I've come up with what I believe is the key to success, and we call it here in West Valley the 5 steps to student success. And it's on a poster board that we have in every classroom throughout our district. And so we focus on these 5 things that I believe truly stand for an opportunity for all students to have a high quality education with high expectations for all. Step one is kindergarten readiness. Step two is in having an enriching kindergarten experience. Step three is third and fourth graders at benchmark in reading and math. Step four is algebra ready by 8th grade.
Wow.
And step 5 is career and college readiness. Now, real quick on each one, kindergarten readiness. Our job in West Valley, as it is in any district, is to narrow the achievement gap. So what we do is we focus on the entry point. We try to make sure that every student is as close in the entry point, which makes it much easier at the exit point at the other end to make sure you've narrowed the achievement gap for students. Step 2, enriching kindergarten experience, used to say full-day kindergarten, because when the state funded only half-day kindergarten, West Valley, when I came here, had tuition kindergarten. So in other words, if your parents could afford to have you go all day, you got to go. But if you couldn't, you didn't. And I thought that was wrong. And our board, my second year here, funded full-day kindergarten for every child. It was a large expense, but they believed in what our focus was and our vision and decided that every child had the right to having that full-day kindergarten experience. We invest perhaps financially the most in step 3, the third and fourth graders at benchmark. We have a standard assessment we give fall, winter, and spring to every student kindergarten through 8th grade. And then we have intervention coaches that we have at every school at all 6 elementaries and our middle level campus. We have intervention coaches that work with the results of those assessments and then work to fill those learning gaps. And then they take the assessment again in the winter and then they work to fill them again and then they take it in the spring. That's been a huge part of our SBAC success and our standing in Washington State. Step 4 is algebra ready by 8th grade. I think everybody knows that the key to success early on is literacy and reading at grade level by 3rd grade. Mm-hmm. But that all switches over to the fact that a student needs to have the numeracy skills in 8th grade to really excel and move beyond. So we focus on being algebra ready by 8th grade.
You mentioned something about a middle level campus. What is that? Is that junior high? Is it middle school? Or is it something else?
Yes, it is. It's both. When I came here, we had a 5-6 middle school and we had a 7-8 junior high. And they were about 300 yards apart. Mm. And the second year I was here, both principals retired at the same time. And so what I thought, and I ran it by the board, was why don't we just have one principal of the entire place so that we have continuity of program, vertical articulation of math, science, English, and history, and evaluate teachers across both buildings, one student handbook, one set of expectations. They thought it was a great idea, and we're today in our 6th or 7th year of having a middle-level campus. 5 through 8, there's about 1,760 5th through 8th graders. Think about that in your mind.
Whoa, that's like a high school right there.
Oh, yeah, it does. But they do a fantastic job. It's been a game changer for us. That's where a lot of the CTE work really gets our high school program going. That's where a lot of it is initiated. So the final step is career and college readiness. We really believe in preparing students for a career. This is going to be elaborated on a little bit further later. Mm-hmm. We have really taken off in career and college readiness as well.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I'm still blown away by that middle-level campus idea because I have not heard of another district anywhere in the state that's doing something like that.
Well, what you do is you try to minimize transitions.
Yes.
So we're K-4 here, 5-6, 7-8, then we had a ninth grade campus, and then 10-12. So how many transitions is that?
Right.
You know, K-4 is one, then you're going to fifth grade, then you're going to seventh grade, then you're going to ninth grade, then you're going to 10th grade. So what we've done is we've tried to minimize the transitions, where research shows that at every transition, there's the potential to lose a kid. There's a potential for somebody to fall through the cracks. And so by minimizing transitions, I think it's really helped to alleviate any of those problems and move us forward as a district.
That is absolutely fantastic. I hope everyone's paying attention because I could have used something like this. And I certainly wish my son, who's a fifth grader now, could have something like this too, where he doesn't have as many transitions. Dr. Peter Finch is the Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning, and he's focused on step one of the district strategic plan, kindergarten readiness. Dr. Finch, why is it important to support a continuum of early childhood education from birth through age five?
Well, like Mike said, if we can get more students kindergarten ready, then we can just take them to the next level of learning as they go through the whole trajectory of their experience in education. When Mike came to the district, he brought this strategic vision and it was really adopted across the whole district, and our admin team really latched onto this. The first elementary principal meeting that we had a video conference with Linda Sullivan-Dutzik and her team at Bremerton. Mm-hmm. At the time, Betty Hyde was superintendent at Bremerton. Then she became the director for the Department of Early Learning for the whole state of Washington. Mm-hmm. So we really learned a lot from the team from Bremerton and just took that framework and have used it ever since. We have official partners with the West Valley Pre-K Initiative. We've grown from a very small group that met in a trailer out behind the district office mm-hmm. to having now 18 official partners. We've had 140 people at evening workshops, so it's just really taken off. Recently, we were named by the National Office of Head Start as a national model for collaboration between Head Start and public education.
Wow, congrats. So
lots of good things happening, but the most important thing is the impact on student learning. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, we were about at the state average for kindergarten readiness, and now we're quite a bit above the state average. We really moved the needle on kindergarten readiness. We've done really strategically and data-driven decisions. So if you take a look at the WA Kids assessment, that's the kindergarten readiness assessment. Take a look at that. We were surprisingly that math was our lowest area, so we've had a strand of math workshops and really working closely with our official partners. We also have official partner meetings where a preschool teacher from the community will sit down in small groups with our kindergarten teachers and talk about curriculum, assessment, family engagement. So we've learned so much from our early learning partners, and then we've really had a focus for the professional development that we've shared with our early learning partners, and then we've really made a difference in student learning.
I was wondering how you're handling things like transitions from preschool to kindergarten. Do you have anything formal that makes it a little bit easier?
The thing that I'm most proud of is that it's not one or two people doing the work. Our whole system has seen the value of kindergarten readiness. And so we've had a lot of our elementary principals take on leadership of this. So last spring out at Mountain View, or no, it was a year ago, out at Mountain View Elementary, they had a wonderful pre-K event where they had the families that were going to be coming in kinder the next year. They had an evening event with lots of fun activities for families. It made an impact on student learning. They came in, the kids were more kindergarten ready than ever before. Mm-hmm. By mid-year, they had 100% of the kindergarten students out at Mountain View were reading at grade level, and wow. They maintained that in the spring at 100%. And that's a high-poverty school. Uh-huh. They receive high-poverty LAP, the Learning Assistant Program funds. Mm-hmm. So they're about 60% free and reduced meal rate out there.
Yep.
And they have 100% of their kindergartners reading at grade level.
That's astounding. Yeah, I am really impressed. How do you get the word out? How do you make sure that everyone who has a 3 or 4 year old knows that this is available for them to become kindergarten ready?
Honestly, we have staff that are part of our Parent Child Plus program, which is a national organization. We have a local home visiting program here that's funded by Title I funds. Mm-hmm. As you may know, Senator Patty Murray with Lamar Alexander helped to rewrite the Every Student Succeed Act, and part of that was to allow Title I funds for early learning. So we actually have home visitors that go and knock on doors. That's how we do it.
Wow.
So they go down the street, they're knocking on doors, they're looking for families that have preschool children, And then we bring them in and we have home visiting and bring them educational toys and books and model how to use those with their children. And we also have a wonderful family engagement coordinator, Minerva Pardo, who you'll meet here in a second. And she has what's called play and learn groups. So our preschools usually are 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, and Friday's free. So on that Friday, we have all those materials in the classroom available, and we bring families in, and they do what's called a play and learn group. And so that helps to build a social connection with the family and also another opportunity to model how to work effectively with the child to have kindergarten readiness skills. And what's really exciting is that you can also bring resources into those families that may not be aware of. We have a great example where they came in on Friday for Play and Learn and learned about state-funded ECAP, the Early Childhood Education Assistance Program. By next Wednesday, that child was getting state-funded preschool. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Wow. Angela Von Essen is Assistant Superintendent for Business and Operations. Angela, how can World Languages help students in grades 3 through 6 prepare for life after high school?
We provided this opportunity for our families a couple years ago and to our third and fourth graders, and it's called the Early Start Program. We bus our students to all our elementary schools an hour before school. They ride the secondary bus, so it was no additional cost to the district, and the parents can take advantage of that opportunity, or they can drop off their child. They have opportunities to choose over 30 languages. And through, we partner with Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
And in our computer labs in each of our elementary schools. We hired teachers to work with our students and monitor their progress and engage with our young ones. And so that has been a positive thing for our district, for the students. Studies show that learning a foreign language at an early age improves their cognitive skills. And it also provides us an opportunity for our teachers to build a relationship with those students, engage with them, keeps the kids busy before school. We also, just last year, we started the Early Start program, but it's a late start program for our fifth graders, and they stay after school for an hour. And same setup where we have a teacher engage with those students after school, and it keeps them busy. They have an opportunity to learn a language at their choice, improve their English language or whatever they want, their family language, but it just provides them the opportunity to be culturally aware and business ready, and also look forward to learning a language at a secondary level. This year, we added the sixth graders to the program, and we're hoping to continue to make that grow as those students start to move up a grade. So we have third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, and sixth graders involved in the program this coming school year.
Mike, you had something to add?
Yeah, one thing that I have to share is a little story. Is the very first parent night we had all these parents in a high school auditorium. I was talking about the language opportunity and that we're paying for it and we're going to pick your kid up in the morning and then they'll get home on the elementary bus, but they'll ride to school on the secondary bus. One mom came up to me and she had a headscarf on and she had a baby in a stroller and she was emotional and she said, "You have no idea what this will mean for my parents to be able to talk to my kids in Arabic and my kids understand. It means so much to us." It really kind of hit home for me then that, you know, this is a pretty big thing. And so we've had feedback from families that it's really cool that their kids are learning German or French or whatever and can talk to their grandparents or whatever. It's really been neat for our community.
Well, and it's interesting, too, that you're building a cohort, that you're talking about extending this beyond just 3, 4, 5, 6. Peter?
Oh, Eric, that's exactly what I was going to say. We're really excited to see the results as the students move through the system. Because as we move towards a more proficiency-based system or competency-based credit, kids will have the opportunity to take the competency-based language proficiency exam, the STAMP test. We're looking forward to see the success of those students to get the competency-based credit.
Well, that brings me to Minerva Pardo, who's Family Engagement Coordinator. Minerva, what role does family engagement play in preparing students for post-secondary education and careers?
Well, I would say that family engagement is a very important component because parents are the first and most important teachers for those kids. Parents need to know what's the best thing they can do for those children. And when those parents build this connection with the school, that's the perfect formula. Parents cannot work isolated from schools, and schools cannot work just away from parents. We have to make a team. And families need to know what schools expect from them. And so I have had the privilege to work with our Hispanic community and provide the resources for them to understand what the schools are expecting from them. So these cultural component or any other language barriers they could have, we try to avoid any conflict and try to build a connection. Mm-hmm. So we honor their opinions. We have once a month a meeting with these families and the superintendent, so he's there to listen to their concerns. Mm-hmm. One of the most beautiful things we're going to do is next year we're going to start with Family Engagement Week. Mm-hmm. And that is that 1 week where we will be able to connect. When parents and schools feel connected, well, students are the only ones that will receive the benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really impressed with the way that you are doing the outreach because it sounds like there's so many wonderful things that West Valley offers students. But if families don't know that they're there or how to access them, you're going to leave a certain part of the population out.
Yeah, I totally agree. We need to provide information. We need to look what's the best way for them to feel connected. Some of our families don't feel very comfortable yet with emails. So I said, so what is the best way to reach? Send something in the mail. Okay. So we write newsletters. We put them in envelopes the old way. We send them to their homes. And so they say, hey, yes, I have all the information for the activities we have in the month. And we try to have a lot of activities for them. We have parenting classes. And I like to embed the Strengthening Family Protective Factors framework mm-hmm. in the work that we do. Because when we build parental resilience, for example, we know that we're going to have those families control their stress, control mm-hmm. the challenges they have in their everyday life to prevent abuse, neglect, and mm-hmm. provide the best scenario for those children. Also really important for families, thinking about migrant families, to know that we can build the social connections. They're not alone in these journeys, so they have other people in the community, in the schools, they can build relations with and help their children. They need to know they can come to us and ask for support. Guess what? Concrete support in times of need, another protective factor. So they need to know they can come to school and find support, and we can link them to the services they need. We have very nice home visiting programs in the district, and we go and check on the family and see what is going on. And then once we know what they need, we can provide the support they need, and they feel comfortable. They are not against the school. They're working with the school. And that's our main goal with family engagement.
That's what's so interesting that you mention about migrant families, because I was wondering how difficult it is to reach them since they are migrants. They might not have permanent addresses. And the idea of offering parenting classes, because a lot of these families are under a lot of stress. They have a lot happening. Do you find that there is resistance or mistrust at first because of, say, immigration status or anything like that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there is. I think that the fact that I am Mexican and that I can relate with them culturally, they feel comfortable. I make them feel welcome all the time. I always try to provide what they need. Mm-hmm. It was really sweet one time when I had a parent and she was in the English classes because we provide English classes for parents. Well, all my family's in Zacatecas in Mexico and I don't have anybody here. So she continued coming to classes and then one day she said, you know something, I'm really lucky because all my family's in Mexico, but now I have a new family. And that is all the people that I've met in these classes. So those are beautiful things that happen because when we have those families feeling welcome and building networks with other people, well, that's always got to benefit the kids, always.
Peter, what you got?
Just wanted to share about this Family Engagement Week coming up next week for the first week of school. We're really excited. It was really great how it happened where the elementary teachers had seen the value of the WA Kids conferences where the state has said that families need to visit with their kindergarten teacher before school starts. And as we're moving more toward personalized learning, I think the teachers were seeing the value of getting to know the family early in the school year instead of waiting until conferences in November. And so the elementary teachers came to the administration and said, we want to have these family engagement meetings first week of school. Well, then the middle school teachers heard about that and they're saying, hey, well, this would be a good, I think we should do this K-8. Mm. And then the high school heard about it and they said, well, hey, hold on, I think this is a good idea. I think we should do this K-12. So next week we're doing K-12 family engagement across the entire district. It's going to be awesome.
Are there any other districts that do K-12 family engagement like this?
None that we're aware of. But if you think about personalized learning, how are you going to personalize learning? Unless you know about the child and what their interests are, and if you're going to do a project-based assignment, you could design that and get the resources needed to help support the personalized learning for the student. So learn about the child early in the school year, and then you could really set up every child for success for the remainder of the school year.
Well, that brings us to Chris Nesmith, who is Director of Innovation and Futures. Chris, how is West Valley preparing students for career and college readiness? And how is your work ensuring equity during the process?
Well, I'd like to say it's unique, but Minerva and Peter already really hit on it. And there's a really key point that I think we'd like to drive home out of West Valley in a key priority. It's relationships and it's partnerships and it's engagement. And that's something you already heard from Peter on how we build relationships and we engage. And you heard our early learning partners. And you heard from Minerva on how we engage our families. And what I'd like to say is the same thing that we're doing within our post-secondary career and college readiness initiative. It's about hitting the streets, knocking on doors, engaging our business partners. Most of our students are going to be working in our communities. So when you look at the employment opportunities available within your local community, those are the employment opportunities that your students are going to be working. So are we aware of what those higher-end careers will be? And then are we connected to those post-secondary connections that the students are going to need to engage in those better careers? And are we building relationships with our post-secondary partners? We hold the largest career and college fair that's not a national career and college fair in the state in Eastern Washington. We have 75 career and college partners. We're on the West Valley campus.
Wait a minute. So you're here in Yakima, which is not Seattle, it's not Spokane, and yet you have this career fair with 75 partners. How did you make that happen?
I did not. We hire well. I have a right-hand associate, Shelly O'Neill, who is our career information specialist out of the high school. She has partners with all of our post-secondary institutions and builds those relationships. It's that first-class treatment that we're the first school that our partners want to come to. The next step is just really being tuned into the opportunities you have available. We're a Core Plus school. We're a Microsoft and Imagine Academy school where every seventh grader is earning Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint certification. We begin aerospace manufacturing. We're number one in Washington State. We had 505 Microsoft certifications last year with our seventh grade 13-year-olds getting Microsoft certified.
My head is exploding.
We were an initial launch. We were an initial pilot with the AJAC Registered Apprenticeship. Our students are working with business partners now, working towards a journeyman certification while they're in high school, 15 college credits, paid experience. And it's looking outside of ourselves instead of saying, we're the institution who knows best how to certify our students or how to credential our students. We're looking at these other experts and how can we match what they're doing. Identical, but the opposite of what Peter's doing in early learning. Peter's working with early learning partners on how they can transition their students to us. We're looking at the next phase and how can we transition our students to them.
I am just blown away. I mean, honestly, I'm trying to think of how this could be scaled, how you're able to do what you do. Peter.
Well, Eric, I think what Mike said from the very beginning, it's a real systems approach from pre-K to post-secondary. One of the things that we did that's really made this successful is taking all the exploratory career and technical education experiences for kids and moving that to grades 7 and 8. So they're getting career education in grades 7 and 8 and understanding what the different career pathways are. And then we've built articulated sequence of classes through the career pathways, leading them to success. So what we've heard is that when our kids are in the field, they're highly successful, but we've set them up for success. So during the junior year, the students are taking a machinist class at the high school. It's a block, a three-hour block. We have great collaboration between the career and technical side of the house and the academic side of the house. So students are getting cross-credit or credit equivalencies for math, science, English. It's legitimate. They're doing it through hands-on learning, and they're being successful. So after that junior year in the machinist program, then they move into the field out in the workplace. They're getting high school credit, college credit, and an hourly wage. They can make over $20,000 a year going to high school their senior year.
$20,000 for a high school senior?
Almost $30,000 is what they're getting. Yeah, $28,000. So, yeah, that was the reason to come to school. You have good attendance, right? And the kids are very engaged. They come in the summer. They just start their apprenticeship in the summer, and then they work all through their senior year. But they're having success because we've set them up for success. And then they have so many opportunities once they graduate. So it's really clear that our focus is not college or career. We want every student to have a career and be successful, and there's many different pathways to that career.
So let's talk about access here just for a minute, because there are different demographics within the district. It's not all white. You have an ethnic mix for sure, and there's definitely different levels of poverty and income levels, that sort of thing. How do you make sure that every kid can access these amazing opportunities, especially in dual credit and CTE that you're talking about?
I think it's a myriad of things. And I was going to comment earlier, we had our administrative leadership retreat here just a couple weeks ago. As you can tell, I am very fortunate. I have an awesome team.
Yes, you do, Mike.
our team extends beyond this room. We have outstanding building leadership, building principals and assistant principals. The ones that really make this happen are the teachers. We have people making magic happen in their classroom every single day. And when I went out last night, I went by the open house at one of our elementaries, and I went by the open house at the middle school. There was standing room only in those classrooms. Parents here in West Valley have high expectations, and we deliver. And we wouldn't have it any other way than to have people that expect us to do our best every day. But in that leadership retreat, as I was going to say, we didn't have one new face in the room. Mm-hmm. So it's key is having the continuity of leadership, and it's key to have a crystal clear vision for success and everybody working collaboratively toward that vision. We believe, as you've heard here today, we believe we have an outstanding program for kids in West Valley. We know that we have a diverse community, and we have ways that we can help make that diverse community all be successful. One, we want every kid to enter kindergarten as successful as possible and as kindergarten ready as possible. We want everybody to come into our middle school as middle school ready as possible, to come out of our middle school, high school ready, so that when they get into this outstanding program that we have, they have a real opportunity for an outstanding career or college, whatever they choose. But we really want to make sure every single kid, regardless of where they come from, regardless of their color, regardless of their ethnicity or their socioeconomic standing, they all have the same shot at success. That's what success as a school system is all about, providing that success for every single kid.
Before I let you go, by the way, I want to do a shout out to your website for how to transition to careers and pathways beyond high school. It's wvfutures.org. How did that come together, Chris?
So, Director of Innovation is right there.
We realized that there was clear connecting, especially this goes back to your equity conversation, is how can we really communicate to students that there's opportunities? Because a lot of times there's power in a conjunction. Students feel as though their options are career or college. And we can prepare you for college or we can prepare you for career. And preparing for college is your best opportunity for a high-end wage. For us, it was almost like our education system was like the game of Survivor, where if you can't get to the end, then you have nothing. So you set these goals, and you set lofty goals to have a meaningful life, and sometimes you have a low-achieving goal, and you're not going to earn what you wanted. Sometimes you have a high-achieving goal, and if you can't meet your high-achieving goal, then you have nothing. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking, what can we do to change that conjunction from or to and how can we communicate that to our students? So first it was in constructing of the programs, like a Field of Dreams model. If you build it, they will come. Mm. So we built our aerospace manufacturing program. As Peter said, we have a robust exploratory program, the largest in the state of Washington. 35% of our FTE is in a CTE exploratory program to connect students to post-secondary opportunities. We begin with Core Plus Aerospace in seventh grade in a class articulated to math algebra credit. Those students actually competed at the WASD Innovation Challenge and won.
Congrats. Wow.
We move into a Core Plus Aerospace program in the high school, and then we move into the Aerospace Registered Apprenticeship. But a third of our machining manufacturing students pursue mechanical engineering degrees. A third move on to larger registered apprenticeships, mm-hmm. and a third stay working for the companies that are already employed at a high livable wage. So instead of really having that or conjunction, we wanted to build our programs around that and conjunction. And it was how can we partner with each other.
I'll be specific about your website because not only does it break it down by different types of careers that you can move into, it shows the salary range. You can make, you know, in some cases, $30,000 to $100,000, or others like in healthcare from $30,000 to $240,000. And then it shows the pathways for different careers. It's like a roadmap for what kids want to do with their futures. I've never seen any kind of district with a website like that that's so interactive and so specific. You don't hold anything back. It's like, okay, here is what the world looks like when you get out of school.
Well, and talking about equity, Chris, you just recently started an open doors program. You partnered with OIC of Yakima. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We launched an open doors school. We partnered with OIC of Washington, who runs OIC of Washington, a Youth Build. Youth Build is a national organization that helps students that have been disengaged from school and reengages them through them working on carpentry skills. We realized we had a certified carpentry teacher. why can't that carpentry teacher be a certified carpentry teacher so students are becoming re-engaged, earning credit while on the construction site? These are students where sitting in a classroom didn't work. Other models are putting them back in a classroom. Why would we put them back in a classroom? Why can't we find ways to help them recover high school credit and re-engage them while they're on the site? So we rebuilt a program utilizing certified construction carpenter teachers to do that. But it's partnerships, it's relationships, it's thinking outside of ourselves and looking at the amazing work OIC of Washington is doing and how can we come together to do more together.
Peter.
I heard you mention the dual credit. So we have, at our high school, opportunity in every content area to have college in the high school or AP. So we're talking English, social studies, math, science, world language, fine arts even. We've got over, I think, 30 opportunities for dual credit. When you look at equity, the question is how do we get students prepared to be successful in those dual credit classes? So we always work our way back, and we're focused on the middle level, and even like Mike said, at the elementary level, having part of that strategic plan, having students prepared to be successful in those classes is what it's all about. And we're seeing continued improvement. We really do have a growth mindset and continuous improvement model. So in the last couple of years, we've been focused on math at the middle level, and we had a jump of 10 percentage points on the Smarter Balance. So going from around the state average to quite a bit above the state average, those are real kids we're talking about. So that 10%, we have about 400 kids in a grade, so that 10%, that's 40 more kids that are going to be ready for success in pre-calculus, which is college in the high school with Central Washington University, and calculus, which is college in the high school with Central, and then our AP statistics class, our AP stats class, we have, the, I think, the highest percentage passage rate of AP stats in the state. So there's just a lot of success happening, but you got to see it as a system, and that pipeline of those high school classes, it's the elementary and the middle level.
That makes sense. Last question I have. Mike, do you think there is a way to scale what you're doing here in West Valley to the entire state? Can we make all of Washington look like your district and have the same kinds of successes?
I think it's definitely a possibility. And I think what people need to do is they need to, like I said at the start, they need to get really back to what the basics are. They need to get back to what the things are that kids need to be successful and try to make the system as simple as possible. One of the things that parents often complain about, whether they have access to the system or if they ever understand the system. And I know Minerva works hard at that with our Spanish-speaking community. We sometimes intentionally, almost, it seems like, make the system insurmountable for certain groups of people, making it very unequal, unequal, inequality. And it's almost built in. The simpler we make things, the better we communicate with our communities, all communities, the more that we build rigor into the system and high expectations for all students, and students start to see that success and experience, as Peter said, that growth mindset and success building on success, it is truly then something that can be replicatable. It can be something that anyone wants to do to keep it simple, focus on success, do the best you can with all of your different groups in your community.
The West Valley School District is doing some amazing things, as you have heard. More information at wvsd208.org. You can also see more at wvfutures.org. Mike, Peter, Angela, Minerva, Chris, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for being here today. We really appreciate
it.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.